In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Yesterday we celebrated the feast of the meeting of the Lord in the temple, oftentimes known as the presentation of the Lord in the temple. And that day marked 40 days now after Nativity. And so Joseph and Mary were coming into the temple fulfilling by obedience a prescription of the law. Now, of course, if you go back to the Levitical code, you will find that a woman was to be present in the temple 40 days after she gave childbirth for a ritual of purification. And it was also a dedication to the Lord of the firstborn of any particular couple. This was really to offset the difficulties that were found in the firstborn that were killed during the Passover. If you go back into the book of Genesis, where you will see that the doorposts were paved with blood. According to the fathers, it was paved with blood in the sign of a cross in order that the angel of death might pass over the Hebrews at that point, because one of the plagues essentially was that the firstborn of those of the members of Egypt were going to be taken by the Lord. And so the Lord then comes later and says, we're going to dedicate the firstborn of any couple to the Lord instead, sort of as a correction to that. And so Joseph and Mary come to the temple, and they are greeted by Simeon and the prophetess Anna. Now, why is this important to us? Well, this Simeon is an interesting person. According to the fathers, he may have been as old as 285 years and had been told by the Lord that he would not repose until he had seen the Lord's chosen. That's quite a long ways to wait, don't you think? 280 some years. But yet, of course, Mary and Joseph bringing the child Jesus to the temple on that day, not because Mary needed purification, because she needed none, but again in obedience to the law, and not because the Lord needed anything in terms of the dedication, because he was the Son of God, but again, simply to fulfill the law. The Lord was always anxious that the law be fulfilled, and not necessarily because of anything inherent to the law itself, but simply because he didn't want to be accused at any time in his life of not caring for the law, because he would be accused of that anyway, but it wasn't true. So everything was done according to the precepts of the law till that time. Now, righteous Simeon, as we know him, then said that famous, Lord, now lettest thou thy servant depart in peace according to thy word, for mine eyes have seen thy salvation, which thou hast prepared before the face of all Gentiles, a light to lighten, before the feast of all people, a light to lighten the Gentiles and the glory of thy people Israel. And then he looked at the mother of God, and he said, and a sword will pierce your heart. Of course, at that point, Mary and Joseph had been going through some difficult times. Of course, the birth of Jesus in the cave in the manger, and later on after that, the flight into Egypt. There were these things that were rather tumultuous in their activities to that point, but a sword had not pierced Mary's heart. And we know, of course, that a sword would pierce her heart terribly at the crucifixion of her son. That was something that she didn't expect at that time, but which Simeon prophesied to her would happen. Righteous Anna, of course, according to the teaching of the church, was about 83 years old at that time and had been living in the temple since her husband of 7 years had departed this life. And so Simeon, the scriptures tell us, was led to the temple by the power of the Holy Spirit. It brought him there. Anna had been living at the temple all of that time. She had been there night and day, praying constantly. Simeon was using his talents. The gospel today speaks of these talents. And these talents are vastly different for all of us. Again, according to the gospel, according to the need of each, according to the capacity of each. For Simeon, his talent was waiting on the Lord, was being patient, perhaps a virtue that all of us should try to cultivate. But I doubt any of us could cultivate it for 200 and some odd years. Most of us have trouble cultivating patience for maybe 1 or 2 minutes, don't we? And so that becomes something that's very, very important in our lives, as Simeon is teaching us today, because he waited for the Lord. And it must have been frustrating when you think about it, because that would have been much, much older than anyone was living at the time. And he was waiting and waiting and waiting. And it must have been just an enormous burden for him to wonder, am I ever going to see the Lord's anointed, the Lord's chosen one? Is it ever going to happen? But yet he had faith, and he waited and waited and kept on and kept on. And then at that moment, when he receives into his hands, as our services tell us, the Ancient of Days. Do we all remember the Ancient of Days from the book of Daniel, when the prophet Daniel saw one like the Son of Man coming upon the Ancient of Days? And it was sort of a cloudy vision, an unclear vision as to what was happening. Well, of course, in the book of Revelation, the clarity then comes to this whole story, because it talks about the Ancient of Days sitting on the throne, and on the throne is Jesus Christ. And so the services tell us today that Simeon takes into his arms the Ancient of Days, the one who created the universe and everything in it. And the best part about the story is that he knew it. At that point, he knew what he was receiving into his arms. What a moment that must have been for this man. For Anna, her talent was prayer. Her talent was being in the temple and praying night and day for the whole world, for her husband particularly, I'm sure. But yet, again, being patient, but being patient in prayer and intercession for this whole time. So, Simeon and Anna, two real prophets who are coming to greet our Lord Jesus Christ and doing the things that they were told would happen, and yet they had to exercise their own human will in this to actualize the gifts that they had been given. Of course, in the gospel today, when we're told about talents, it almost seems a little stringent when you think about it. Because the one man had 5 talents and took it and multiplied it into 10. And the other one had 2 talents and multiplied it into 4. And yet the last person who took that 1 talent then went and hid it away, and so he could present it to his Lord whole and intact, perhaps even with the best of intentions. Who knows? But we hear some really harsh words about this man who only kept the talent and didn't do anything with it. Because in most of our lives, if somebody gives us something and says, listen, watch after this or keep it for us, would you? We feel really good about ourselves when we give it back to them. And it's whole and intact, just as they had it when they gave it to us. See, you asked me to keep it, and look what I did. But no, the Lord is stringent with this one man. He says, look, you know that I reap where I do not sow. You know this. And everyone else here went out and multiplied their talents and gave it back to me. And at very least, I should have had interest on this. And so, no, it's not enough simply to hold on to the talent. You wicked and slothful servant. And you shall be thrown out into those with gnashing of teeth and wailing. I mean, my goodness, this seems kind of rough, doesn't it? But, in fact, it's not. Because you see that with the spiritual life and with our Lord Jesus Christ, it's simply not enough to take the things that He gives us and sit on them. No. Not at all. We've talked about this before, that salvation is a gift, right? But if we don't do anything with that gift, what good is it? If you don't make use of what has been given you, What good is it? What progress do you make? How can you move along in the spiritual life? You can't do anything like that. Nothing. We have to take what is given to us and multiply it. And that's what the Lord is telling us in this story today. That I have given you all of these gifts, again, according to the need of each, according to the ability and capacity of each. You have talents of some kind, but the Lord expects them to be multiplied. He expects them to expand, to grow. It's not simply enough to say that we are Christians any more than it was to say simply that we are children of Abraham. As John the Baptist indicates, that the Lord himself could make children of Abraham out of stones. Well, the Lord could make Christians out of stones if he wanted to. But stones don't have the ability to multiply talents, to grow in the Lord. But we do, even if we have to wait for a long time, even if we have to dedicate ourselves to nothing but prayer for a long time, even if we feel that there's nothing we can do to contribute to the body of Christ, there's always something. Even if it's waiting, there's always something. And so the Lord is trying to tell us today, I've given you everything. What are you going to do with it? How are you going to return it? How are you going to make this efficacious in the eyes of the Lord? What can you do? Well, I can't answer that for anybody. Sometimes I have trouble answering it for myself. Sometimes you have to search deep. You have to really look into yourself and see what it is you can offer. And for some, it might be a lot more than others. Certainly the saints of the church offered a whole lot more than most of us because they grew in the Lord. They prayed for the entire world all the time. They communed with Him constantly. And that, in a way, makes up for our own deficiencies in this regard. But it doesn't excuse us. It doesn't excuse any of us from taking the talent and multiplying it, from doing something with it, even if it be just the littlest thing you can think of. Again, according to the need and capacity of each. So this is what we learn today from these admittedly conflated stories of Simeon and Anna and Mary and Joseph and the gospel we hear today. But it should be an encouragement to us. And if we take fright at what the Lord says in the gospel today, that's good. That's good. Sometimes it takes a match under our backsides to get us off our chairs and do something. Even if it's praying, sometimes we have to look to the fact that not everyone who says, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven. Sometimes we have to take action because we know that we're being slothful. We know that we're not doing the things we should do. We know we're not praying enough or doing enough spiritual reading. We know that we're not at church enough. We know that we're not helping our neighbors or giving to the poor. All these many, many different things. That's what's required of us. That's what being a Christian is all about. That's what you all signed up for. Maybe you didn't know it at the time, but you certainly learned it over time. And the Lord asks each of you simply, take my gift and multiply it and bring it back to me and bring it back to all your brothers and sisters in Christ, because all these people here are His body. They are precious in the sight of Him and should be precious in our sight too. Don't be frightened. Don't be fearful. What was the old saying from years ago on television? Just do it. Seriously, just do it. Enough excuses, enough waiting. Now is the time to get busy. Now is the time to do something, because we don't know how long any of us have. We don't have any idea. Hopefully it will be many, many years, as many as Simeon, for all of us here. Probably not. But hopefully it will be. But don't presume anything. Now is the time to turn to the Lord, to worship Him, to bless Him, and to do all the things that He has given us. Amen.